Wanted to let you know that Fuse 2020 early bird registration is now open. Next year's AIM Fuse National Conference will be on September 26th in Las Vegas. Make sure to go to events.aimgroup.com to secure your limited time early bird discount. Hey, welcome to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I'm your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors, and today we have Scott Shang. That's how you say it, right?
That Shang, right.
I like it. Of BuyWise Mortgage. What's up, man?
Not a lot.
I know.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I love it. I know right before this, we were talking a lot, and I'm like, hey, shut up, Scott. We need some content for this. So this is going to be fun, man, because I don't know too much about you. Yeah. We know each other kind of from social media, but it's going to be cool to get to know you a bit more.
Yeah.
So you're coming all the way out from California.
Yep.
Right? Now, I said Irvine area, but can you be more specific?
Well, our office is in Huntington Beach. I actually live in Irvine. It's all Southern California.
Are you a surfer? Or is Josh a surfer?
I actually grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
So I moved out to California when I was 20, and now I've been there for 30-something years.
What part of Michigan?
Right there.
Okay.
It's called Rose Township. It's not a town, not a city. It's just a little place in the woods. My mom still lives on a dirt road in the house that they built.
Michigan fan, Michigan State fan, or you don't really follow that?
Not really sports fan too much.
Cool.
You know, we're a little farming family when I was growing up. Parents are hippies.
Nice.
Surprised my name's not Moonbeam or something.
Oh, man, that's great. All right, so 20, moved to Michigan.
Yep.
Owner of BuyWise Mortgage, right?
Partner with Josh
Lewis, right, who we'll be talking with later.
Yep.
So I want to know a little bit more, like I said, about you, right?
Sure.
So you moved to California, almost said Cali, but we talked about that. Around 20, when did you get into the mortgage world? Let's start there.
So I had been here about 10 years. So it was 98 when I got in, and it's funny, man, because back in the day you used to say, oh yeah, mortgage is cyclical. It's, you know, everything, rates go up, they go down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last 10 years after the crash, it was kind of weird. You lost a lot of people. You got a lot of new people in. They're surprised by all this stuff. But when I got in, we were refinancing people from 9.5 to 7.75, and they were losing their minds.
Yeah,
they were
like,
I can't believe this. You know, the rates are so low.
You always hear these stories. Like, I didn't get into the mortgage world until 2011. So I saw none of that.
Okay.
I came in literally, like, the first couple months is when they changed LO comp to where you can only get paid on one side. So I saw none of that.
Okay.
So I'm always curious, and you always hear like, oh, back in my day or whatever, you know, it was 9% or 12%, you know?
Yeah.
So people are losing their mind in like 98, right? Like you said, 98 to 2000, dropping from 9 to 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because people are like, oh man, rates are going to hit 5%. The market's going to come to a screeching halt. I'm not sure about that.
Home prices were a lot lower then too, right?
Yeah, but it's all relative.
Okay.
You know, isn't it?
I mean,
rates are higher. Incomes were lower. You didn't have, that was right around the first tech bubble, wasn't it?
Okay.
2000.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't have Facebook back then. You didn't have, you know, the Google, and you didn't have all the Amazons and all those kind of things. They were just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a different world. What is the statistics? Statistically, every 10 years, home values double, right? And there was a little bit of an anomaly. There was a little bit of an anomaly there during the crash. But home prices in California now are higher than they were before the bubble, before the crash.
Mm-hmm.
So they've come 100% back in the last 10 years. So.
And it's been 10 years, like you said.
Yeah, and they were down by, you know, they were down, they got cut in half or even lower than that in 2008, 2009, right after the crash, and now they're right back up to before they were when everybody said, oh, this is insane, this shouldn't be this high.
So they were at like 800, let's just, 800, oh, yeah. Dropped to 400,000, and oh, now yeah, back
areas,
to 800?
Some areas even more. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we were talking a little bit before this about that. We won't go crazy into that, but damn. Yeah, that's nuts. So, all right, so back in 98, 2000, right, that's when you got in. Mm-hmm. So you're like early 30s, right?
Yeah.
In that range, not to date you. But what? So who'd you start with? Was it a bank? You don't have to name names if you don't want, but trying to get an idea of the type of operations
they were a broker. When they started, it was a super, super small group. It was an independent guy. We kind of really grew with him from the ground up. So I didn't have any experience at all in the mortgage industry. I kind of went in there, ended up kind of taking the reins on a couple of projects, started like a call center, you know, bringing in some people and started working on stuff. And, it grew to be a pretty big company. And then he went, started getting some lines and started, doing the direct lender kind of thing with core lines.
Okay.
Well, there were more credit lines back then. I don't know if there's really real core out there anymore. There's a lot of mini core kind of stuff, which is just, we'll pay you a little bit more for a ton more responsibility. And, it was a little bit different back then. One of the cool things that I appreciated about that guy is, you know, that was kind of the subprime. There was a little bit of the subprime boom. He was a very, very big against negams.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, even though he wasn't probably, I wouldn't say he was the most ethical person in the entire world because he made his money because everybody did.
Sure.
They were making lender comp, they were making 5-6 points on a deal front and back, and we were paying 2 points on the front and 3-4 on the back. That's the way that it was before the rules came out. That's the way it is now, just not for brokers.
Sure.
So they just hit they moved the cups
they
around a little
around,
bit.
Right? That's all it is.
No, they moved it around a little bit and then came out with a new story. We did that for a long time, and then I ended up leaving him 2003 and opened up my own broker shop.
Now, did you start as a loan officer, as an LO?
No, I didn't. I actually, he hired me. I was doing commercial leasing. And I didn't know anything about that either. I just learned it on the fly. But then I started seeing what they were doing, and I started being able to contribute, and I saw ways. I'm kind of a good systems guy, so I can see chaos, and I can create order out of it. And
you're hired for my company.
So, yeah, I wish there was enough of me to go around because it's fun, man. I love that stuff.
So you've always been, like you just said, more of a systems type guy. You've never been a full frontline guy. Am I right in saying that?
No. So I originated for a while with him. So, but when I originated, I mean, it seemed like I was doing stuff. So I hired somebody. He wouldn't give me an assistant, but I was like, I don't want to do all this paperwork stuff. I can do it. I mean, I'm into it. I love an Excel spreadsheet as well as the next guy. And maybe not too many people do it. I'm super nerdy.
Yeah.
But so I hired somebody, and I just paid her a split. So all I would do was talk on the phone, and I would just hand it off. And then I realized, and I was by far the top producer in that entire office. Like, my production was more than almost everybody else.
Nice.
Combined. And so I was like, I decided to go out and do my own thing. So went out and started my own shop.
Like 2003, you said?
2003, 2004.
Okay.
And,
just
well,
a
and
small
then not
shop.
Not a few. Yeah. So I have my in California. You're licensed by the Department of Real Estate.
Yeah, you got the two, right?
Right. So I actually had a broker's license. So I got my broker's license for DRE, and then so it was a little boutique shop. We had a couple of real estate agents, and we would do a little bit of real estate, a little bit of
cool.
Loans. And then, 2007 hit, and you know, I guess the, through all of that, that for me was actually, I'm very much a, when there's complete and utter chaos, that's when I really get excited. That's when I get, that's when I'm like, sweet, everybody else is confused as hell. And there's a clear path through this thing. And there's a ton of opportunity for people.
Where most people are getting overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You're just
I'm getting that different type of mind.
No,
my blood starts pumping and I'm like, oh, this is badass. This is going
to
be.
Can you organize my household too? Like, I got the three kids.
After I organize my own. Fair enough. Conceptual vision is not the same as actual execution.
Fair enough.
A lot of times. But no, so one of the things that as I got through that, one of the things that I'm probably most proud of is I didn't lose a single loan during the crash.
Whoa.
So I had, and I know, you know, there was entire companies that went out of business overnight because they were all with those lenders that were going out of business. I had one loan that they were supposed to sign loan docs when AB Conduit went out of business. And I went in there and it was sort of an Alt-A product. It wasn't a subprime product. It was an Alt-A product. I re-ran DU, got an approved eligible on an MCM. We had My Community Mortgages back then.
Okay.
Got an approved eligible, got them signed a week and a half later. So I didn't lose a single client. And it's not like I had hundreds or thousands of clients.
But still. You've heard the stories. I've heard the stories of.
Well, I was the guy that was trying to talk people out of negams and talk people out of subprime.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, it wasn't, I didn't boom when everybody else boomed because I didn't like that type of business. For me, it was always, you got to do the right thing no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you educate people and you help them make an informed decision. And, you know, and kind of, you know, what a lot of people know me for now is my website. And so when the market crashed in 2007, I recognized that it didn't take a genius to recognize consumers don't trust lenders, right? So every single night in the news, this is a little bit before you got in the business, but every single night in the news, the headlines were how evil lenders were and how they were ripping people off and they were, and it was, I mean, they were demonized. And then you got all of your new rule makers, all of your Chase and your B of A, all going in and saying, oh, it's all those pesky brokers.
Right?
It's all those unmonitored, ruthless, greedy, you know, unsupervised people that are out there. And it couldn't have been further from the truth. I mean, there was a lot of good people out there, but, and it, we can really
that's
twist.
A shame.
We can really twist this thing, but I mean, that stuff all came from the top. I knew we were in trouble when strippers started showing up with rate sheets.
Yeah, well, it's like the movie The Big Short.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real good movie to watch. I mean, it gives you great info, and the strippers are in there.
That's not a joke. No, that's not a joke. They were legitimately going to strip clubs and saying, hey, during the day you can do this. And it was just like, we'll pay you 6 points on this loan. And it was brutal, and it was all coming. And then you had hedge funds that were lending direct to brokers. They weren't even going through lenders anymore.
Oh, it was messy.
They were just hedge funds on Wall Street. And so they would just put together portfolios that they were blending to make it look like it wasn't decent, but that was all the dredge. And there was, there was enough greedy people out there that would sell their mother for a loan, and they did. And it caused a bad, and it was bad, but it was a lot of, you know, so there was a lot of really good things that came out of the crash because, you know, the regulation was necessary. The licensing was necessary. Mm-hmm. It was good to get the dregs out. It's not going to stop people from being greedy and you know, doing things for the wrong reasons, but it's at least going to moderate a little bit. So what I realized is
felt that coming though, right? You could just feel it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely knew it because we were battling it because we were in California. It was the subprime capital of the world.
Okay.
They were all located in Irvine. New Century, all of the big companies. I think
they were
New
all
Century
there?
Was one of the first big ones. They were
I
all
remember
in Southern
New
California.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all in Southern California. That was kind of the hot spot.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, the writing was on the wall. if you weren't in it for the money. If you were in it because you loved helping people, I specialized in first-time buyers back then. I was doing a lot of – they had MCM 100s. So Fannie Mae had a My Community mortgage that would go up to 100. They only go to 97 now. Mm-hmm. So we were doing MCM 97s and 100s, and people wouldn't do them because they were a little bit more difficult, and you actually required income. So
isn't that insane? Actually, required income.
Yeah. They were no loans. You know, there were no income, no asset. They weren't mere foggers.
So you saw that, and you saw it, and then 2007 ish, like you said, when the chaos was happening, you saw a path. And I think that's what you were trying to get into.
Yeah. So no, thanks. You caught me rambling again.
No, I love it.
I will do it.
That was me.
I figured, how do I get direct to the consumer to let the consumer know that there were good people out there and there are good people out there?
Cool.
So I learned something called WordPress, which was started in 2006. So it was really raw back then. And it was not nearly as easy to use as it is today.
A lot of coding and all types.
There was some coding, but there was WordPress.com, which was like the free one, and then you could download WordPress and you could do it yourself. I didn't know anything about anything about code. I ended up taking an online class class to learn HTML at a community college so that I could at least fix what I broke, because I'm a tinkerer. So I'll go in there and I smash stuff, and then I got to try to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
But I started posting stuff and writing stuff on WordPress.com, came in the office one day, and across our website it said, this website's been closed down for a violation of terms of service.
Whoa.
And it was because it was the free community version of WordPress.com, and you couldn't do any sales on there. They couldn't put any calls to action. Mm. They just wanted you to blog. So luckily I had a 20-something-year-old in our office that knew how to do servers and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we started WordPress, and we started what has evolved to what my website is today.
What is that website?
Today it's findmywayhome.com.
Findmywayhome.com.
Yeah, so it's gone through a bunch of iterations. It's had – so this is kind of cool. I mean, you look back and you're like, who pays attention to this shit? You know, I mean, I'm writing about mortgage stuff, right? And it is boring as hell.
Yeah.
And it's nerdy, and it's all this kind of stuff. I started digging in deep in 2011. I started writing a lot about how to buy after bankruptcy, foreclosure, and short sale, because I knew that was coming down the pipe, right? So everybody was losing their home. So I'm like, in the future, this is going to be a big deal. You know, there's a moral in this story that I want to make sure that I get at. I always was very, very niche-y. Mm-hmm. So I was never, hey, here's a mortgage loan. I was always, hey, if you have this particular bleeding neck,
love this.
I've got the bandage for it. So I would always pick out specific things. So when I started my website, it legitimately was about a teacher program for specific school teachers that worked in certain school districts that had a certain rating.
You went deep.
I went deep, and it was super, super niche. And I went to a local, the California Housing Finance Agency, the local housing agency, and they talked about this program. And they said, and this is actually how I started the blog, is they said, when you get a teacher, you go on the state of California education website, you look and you see if they qualify for the school. So in my twisted mind, I'm like, okay, how about if I start there? So I went to the site, found all of the schools. Then I looked up the school website. Then I went to the staff page and I started emailing all of the teachers in those schools.
Yep.
And I said, hey, did you know this exists? And nobody was pissed off. People were like, no, tell me more. And eventually I started writing out, and so I could just send them, here's more information about this program.
Okay.
And then that's when I was like, I need to put a website. And so now I just direct people to the website. So that's really how we got started.
Where did you put it back then?
Initially it was an email. So I would just email people out, because you go to the staff page, go to their email. Hey, did you know this exists?
Okay.
And then I would just have like a pre-written signature, and they would email me and I would reply back and I'd say, here's all the details. Let me know if you have questions.
Yeah, you were a soldier, man. You were you were working hard almost it, one by one getting the
it,
word out.
It was one by one. And then what happened is I got overwhelmed with response. And I was like, there's got to be a better way to create a place that people can just go to get this information. And that's kind of how it evolved to the website. And, you know, I realized that I learned Google Analytics. So I got the code on my site in August of 2010. I don't know if it was the first time that I got it on there or the last time, but that's how far my analytics go. I checked it the other day. They had 1.3 million people to my website.
Whoa.
Since that. So that's it averages about 10,000 people a month organically. I don't do anything paid. That's just people doing Google searches because they have a specific problem.
So you put the work in.
Oh, I put
over
the work in.
8 to 9 years.
Oh, I wrote 3 to 5 articles a week for 10 years. So
it, what are you doing with it now?
I'm evolving it now. I'm getting way, way more focused on it. I'm starting to build more specific content channels.
Okay.
Back in 2015, and this was actually Josh's he recognized this, that student loans were going to be a problem. So when they changed the rules in 2015, we got on top of that and basically became national experts in that. And we realized that 99% of loan officers didn't understand how to handle student loans and how to deal with the payments. So we've been on top of that since 2015. And now that's a majority of the traffic that we get to our website. And it amazes me that there's still these – well, it doesn't amaze me because as the industry evolved, what ended up happening is you have less and less – experts out there because what survived the crash were the rulemakers came in and just started hiring cubicle dwellers and they just started hiring customer service people. And so there's this whole generation of loan officers out there that don't know how to do loans. They don't know anything about underwriting. They don't go into the Fannie Mae underwriting guidelines and like research stuff and fight underwriters. They just do what they're told.
Yeah.
And if they're told and or if the position of well, the worst part about it is most of these people are trained to say yes because they have to meet sales numbers, right?
They're so just throwing shit against the wall.
They're throwing shit against the wall because they're paid on based on how many credit cards they get, how many yeses they get, how many things they can push through the system. So and now you've got these companies that are throwing hundreds of millions of dollars out there in marketing and advertising trying to say, hey, this is super simple, this is super easy. But the problem is nothing behind the scenes changed, right? Fannie Mae didn't get easier. HUD didn't make it easier. Nobody else got easier. Somebody got the smart idea to promote an easier online application. And they presented it as a whole new way to do mortgage loans, but it's not the case.
Yeah, what I'm seeing, and tell me if you agree, is it's really it's going this way with the types of mortgage people, lenders, whatever you want to call them, where you have the big banks or the ones with all this money. Mm-hmm. And they're just throwing a lot of money at it, trying to just get people to come in. And they're not as much worried about the back end. And then the middle type of lenders, those mid-sized, they're struggling, I think, because there's a lot of overhead there for them. Yeah. And then you have guys like us. And I'm going to dive into to BuyWise. But then you have the smaller type, local type guy that's very niche-y. Mm-hmm. So you have these two opposite type companies, but those are the ones that are going to be competing for a while. Do you agree with that? Kind of to an extent?
Yeah. So here's my take on this. I've been thinking about this a lot. So as the digital mortgage, which doesn't really exist, A1 certainly makes things a little bit easier in some cases, but you're going to lose a percentage of society to push button easy to download app, get loan. It's going to happen, and you're going to lose more and more of those, but they're going to try that first. But there's a tremendous amount of people. I mean, think of how many people do loans or how many people sell or buy or refinance. And you've also got the gig economy that's evolving. And the gig economy doesn't mesh well with these people that can only do a certain level, because the only way they can make it through one of those digital mortgage systems is if they're crystal clean.
No, what's a gig economy?
Uber and these things where you're doing all of these side jobs and you can make money on the internet and
Got
you can
it.
Sell stuff on eBay. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, those are second jobs. Those are secondary source of income. And those things get hairy when you're actually underwriting a mortgage.
Yeah.
So people think I made $100,000 last year. Well, that's cool, but you've been doing eBay for 6 months and you can't use 75,000 of it, and you wrote off the other 25. Yeah. But the TV told me I can get a mortgage by downloading this app, mm-hmm. right? So you've got this huge disconnect, and even if we are only left with, let's say 40%, let's say 60% of people fall for that. First of all, a big percentage of those people are going to fall out of it because they're going to be told yes, 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 and then they're going to be told no. Just Google consumer reviews for any of those companies and you'll see them. And then they're going to be looking for an expert, right? Mm. So now they're looking for somebody that can actually help them. And that's why I think it's so valuable that we get content out there from people like us, because people are going online and they're looking for answers, because they're going to be told no, or they're going to be told that they can't qualify. My entire website, now the problem with my website is everybody that's come to my website has been told no or declined by somebody else, right? The overwhelming majority of the time we can help them because they were told no by somebody that didn't know what they were talking about. But nonetheless, they're out there looking for an expert now. So you got to think about that in your business. Are you out there competing for the keyword FHA mortgage, or are you competing for, are you an Uber driver that got turned down for a mortgage?
Wow, this is interesting. So a lot of these discussions I have, we talk about what the independent loan officer is doing or the big bank and mm-hmm. what they're doing. You're going even deeper, and this might be the hippie in you because you're your parents, right? But you're saying, this is really interesting.
Going deep, man.
It's going deep. Society is changing.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to dictate kind of how we're going to set up.
Well,
instead of what we're trying to say to the consumer, we're looking at the consumer and working with how it's changing.
Well, think about how you consume. I mean, you think about how we as consumers work, you mm-hmm. know, and how we operate and how we find information. And if you're not there to provide information in those, you know, and this is the online stuff. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the online stuff. What I also think that I see happening is that social media and all of that was really sexy for a long time because it was new, but now people want people again.
Yeah.
Right? People want that personal connection. So mm-hmm. if you're that local person that's building those local relationships, that's working better than ever now.
It really is.
But like in Southern California, we don't really have that. We can't even really lend in our market. Our market is super jumbo stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't have great channels for that. We can't compete with the Chases and the Wells Fargo private client stuff in our market. So we're kind of more online. But we've got some areas that, you know, we're building relationships with referral partners and mm-hmm. things like that. But I think it's important to understand what your market is and what your goal is. So, mm-hmm. That's going to dictate what paths you take in order to connect with consumers and what that messaging has to be. But if you're online, I mean, I think everybody needs to be cool doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. You can't be afraid of a camera. You
No.
can't be afraid of getting on and recording your stuff. You can't be afraid of writing stuff and worrying about whether or not anybody sees it. I closed my first loan off of my website 18 months after I started writing. I wrote for a year and a half before I closed a loan for my website. And
you got to stay consistent. You have to put in the work. This isn't just, you know, get a social media brand going or whatnot and a logo.
No,
let's get it in.
Dude, you got to think long game. You got to think long game because mm-hmm. the long game is always going to win. Now, you got to be in a position to take advantage of short wins. Right. So when the rates drop, you got to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you're a business owner and right now you're just hiring everybody that's done one refinance in their day just to put a butt in a seat. Mm-hmm. The second the rates jump back up, you're going to be stuck with a whole bunch of overhead with people that don't get purchase money.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you're shooting yourself in the foot if you're looking at that. So take advantage of the short wins. Be aware of what the market's doing, and by all means, pivot. And that's the cool thing about brokers, you know. That's why I'm so excited about what AIM's doing and people like us getting together, because it was wastelands for a really long time. We were wandering alone in the wilderness and we had nobody to talk to.
So you're excited now. So like love where things are going.
No, I'm excited and I'm excited that you know, we're finding each other, we're talking about these things, we're getting these things out of there, because at the end of the day, I think the right way always wins. It may not seem like it, and it may not seem like it for years on end, but you know, we're not going away. There's going to be more and more of a need for us, but as the market changes, and now that the you know, we're getting past that crash, the market is evolving, consumers are evolving. You know, these digital mortgage companies, they're pissing off enough people that they're now open to, hey, I know JP helped my buddy down there. They didn't see a TV commercial because they know that's kind of BS. Mm-hmm. You know, it was new and exciting for a while, but it's gonna shift back.
That's all we are now. We're just a small brokerage. It's myself, my brother Nick, and my sister's boyfriend Jake. Yeah. Right? And we're just all referral. And quite honestly, right now, this is going to sound horrible. We're getting back into it, but I don't reach out to real estate agents right now. We're just all, you know, referral from our book of business and what we do on social media, trying to be just being who we are. Like, not trying to be authentic, but just this is what we do.
Well, what you're doing on social media is bringing in business?
Yeah.
Okay, so that...
It's just showing who we are as people.
Well, okay, so that's really cool that you say that, because that's what I've always said about my website is, to me, those are all personal referrals, because when they contact you, they already know you.
They already know you. Right.
Right. They already know you. They're like, hey, JP, what's going on, dude? How's this? And you're like, who are you?
That happens a lot.
And they're
which
like,
is cool.
Because they've been watching you, but you don't know who's watching, and they're not going to reach out until they have a need. But that doesn't mean that you're not out there building relationships and you're not out there spreading that authenticity, you know? And that is a foundation. That is a solid foundation that is going to bring in business for years to come.
And to get back to putting in the work and playing the long game, and sometimes I have to reflect more on myself sometimes instead of just doing all these interviews. No, I'm kidding. But 2013... I was never comfortable picking up the phone and cold calling real estate agents. And that's what it was. That's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And Facebook was getting much bigger, social media. And I said, I went to one of my mentors. I'm like, screw it, man. I'm going all in social media. And it took time. I mean, it's been 6 years of that. And just the past couple of years, it's really popped off hard, where the business is kind of just coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your website. You set it up. It took time. Now it's just on auto drive. Now you're always changing and evolving. I get that. But you're in a pretty good spot. So putting in the work and being consistent and doing the right thing too, right? Not selling out, doing who you are. And
being authentic. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Just be your genuine self. Don't go out there and be cheesy and somebody that you're not. Just be yourself, because people are looking for that authenticity. They're looking for that human connection.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people go online is because they're afraid to talk to salespeople.
Yep.
You and I aren't salespeople. We're educators. We're going to help you accomplish your goal. We're going to listen to your story. We're going to put the pieces together, and we're going to do our best to not make it a painful experience.
Right.
But we're working uphill the whole way. You know, we're not doing all these things. So that's super important. But like you said, you put in 3 years. Don't start jumping on social media and start making, you know, you went to Fuse and you saw Gary Vee and you got excited and you did 3 YouTube videos and you're not closing any loans yet. Brother, you ain't put in the work yet.
Not even close. Yeah,
no, that's the path. Mm-hmm. That's not the solution. That's just the path, and you're just getting started. Keep that up and keep doing it, and you get used to it, right? And then it's not new anymore, and now you're comfortable having these conversations. Let me circle back to the realtor thing just super quick, because this is the broker space really being able to make a good impact. Because remember, realtors have been stuck with direct lenders for the last 10 years, and they're just now figuring out that there's this alternative out there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, most of the real estate industry got gutted too. they were gone. You know, although a lot of real estate agents left.
Good point.
And there's a lot of brand new ones in. And when they got in, they were connecting with these big lenders doing MSAs, and they're doing high prices and limited products. And they've been doing that for the last 10 years. They don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work as hard to educate these realtors that have been in the business as long as you've been in the business.
Point.
You owe it to them to give those options to their consumers. So yeah, it sucks calling agents and they're not always great, but if you're passionate that being a broker is better for the consumer, you have to be able to have that same passion for educating agents because they don't know any better. So you got to get out there and it sucks, but but that passion's got to drive your need to get the word out, and we've got to start figuring out ways. You know, that's what I was using HomeBot for. That's what we did the thing for. I'm taking it out to agents and I'm saying, listen, this is cool stuff you can do with consumers. And man, if you don't have a broker in your pocket, if you don't have a broker on your team, you're probably losing 2-3 transactions a year because they're being told no by somebody that doesn't know any better.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, for everyone out there, I mean, a lot of people in our world, there's always a love-hate relationship with real estate agents, right? But we have to, like you said, get back out to them and educate them. Don't sit there and ask for their business. Show them why we're better right now. Show them how we can make them more money and treat the client the best so they can form their long-lasting relationships as well.
Well, trust me, agents know who you are because of your social media stuff and educating consumers. I think you would be surprised if you put together some sort of local class to talk to agents about something, what percentage of them already know who you are and already basically trust you.
You're right.
So it's the same message. It's not a different message and it's not a different method. It's just, you know, don't be a hater because you're probably missing out on a nice chunk of your business. And when refis go away, you're going to like them a lot more than
you
like them right now.
You're going to love them. Yeah.
You're going to love them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what would you tell people out there right now? There's a billion different ways you can skin a cat right now with marketing, right? So many different ways. It's overwhelming. So I think some people say, listen, there's so much out there, it's overwhelming, and they don't even start. And maybe they get, like you said, 3 YouTube videos and give up, right? Is there something simple that they could do right now that are just diving right in, like on the marketing side, instead of being overwhelmed with 100 different things you got?
Man,
I mean, social media is a big one. That's a loaded question, I know.
Yeah, no, because it's really just do you. I don't do social media.
Okay.
I mean, I actually don't even log in until nighttime, and I don't spend any more than maybe 30 minutes on social media max. I don't get caught up in that mind suck.
Yeah.
It's just too much stuff. I mean, some people are really cool with it. It distracts me from other stuff. But just do you know, whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you do, don't chase shiny objects. Mm-hmm. Just don't chase. There is no easy button. There is no magic way to do it. It's a shit ton of work and it will pay off over time as long as you do it genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, man. You just got to put in the work. It's not quick and easy. It's not quick and easy. Treat this like a career. You know, this is going to take care of you and your family for the rest of your life. It's that we're not punching clocks here.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're building empires.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Well, that's cool. I want to dive in a bit deeper about your role at BuyWise.
Okay.
That's cool. So it's you and Josh, right?
Yep.
But what would you say your role is right now?
So, okay, I'm glad we go there because I think this is also important because this really dovetails off of what you just said about how do you get started and how do you get into marketing. Josh and I have a unique relationship where he is really, really good. I call him the brains of the operation. He's really good at the mortgage side, the execution side.
Okay.
And why we work so well together is because I focus on more of the marketing and the messaging side.
Okay.
And
I love how you said messaging, by the way. People just say marketing. Like there's a message here that you believe in that you're getting out there. But go ahead.
So I'm going out talking about messaging. I'm talking about the things we're talking about. I'm out doing classes and talking to agents about ways that they can grow their business. And we're having those conversations with them and we're like, yes. And here is what we can do for you on the mortgage side, but it's not a mortgage company necessarily going out there and doing it. It's just sharing that messaging. But this is important. I think is when you can collaborate with people that have different skill sets than you, because it's the it's tough to be a one-man shop and deal with all of this stuff. Business is infinitely more complex now than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, because you do have to have social media. You do have to have an online presence. Just putting up a website doesn't do it. Mm-mm. So if you have the opportunity to partner up with people that have these different skill sets, you got to think that way. You know, you're not just hiring loan officers. You find somebody that, you know, kids these days, they don't have to learn social media and marketing. You can go to local community college and get yourself somebody to, to do all your social media, do all your post production. You know, not everybody's got a Ricky, but you can find one.
Shout out to Ricky.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And start thinking in those terms and building out your team. So Josh and I, our partnership is I kind of handle some of that stuff, some of the marketing, the messaging, thinking about those paths. And he's focusing only on execution. By focusing only on execution and the customer experience, we can provide a better customer experience because he's not worrying about marketing. He's not worrying about where the next client's going to come from.
That's his strength.
Yeah. So you take your strengths and you marry those strengths and you partner up those strengths, whether you're hiring it, partnering or whatever. And I think that's what puts us on a path for our success.
How big is BuyWise? How many employees?
It's little. We have, there's Josh, two loan officers, loan officer assistants, more or less, because they don't originate everything. We bring in all the business.
Okay.
They just provide the customer experience. They have an assistant and we have a processor. We probably need another processor right now. And then we'll be right around in our sweet spot. I mean, we only want to be like a 25 unit a month company. Cool. We don't want to be huge.
Right.
We can make plenty of money and do what we need to do with a small group and not have to deal with a bunch of
employees. And it's quality. You guys are so focused on quality. It's all quality, over quantity. Just said 25 is good because we're doing the right thing and this is a long lasting business.
And that is a constant battle. Creating that customer experience is so difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just is because they're fed so much. They get so much information from so many places, everywhere. And they
feel
just,
bad for them. There's too much.
I feel really bad for them because they think that, well, shouldn't it be this way? Mm. And you've always got the, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And consumers don't understand how things work because nobody's letting them know that this is actually a hard thing to do, right? Everybody wants to say, oh, no, it's easy, it's simple, it's a no-brainer, it's push-button easy, and it's not on our side.
No.
It only is to get the application, but as soon as the application starts, you need an expert.
Yeah, it's a fine line when you have a new client in to say, this is going to be hard off the bat, but you have to say, but if we do this, it won't be that hard. But it's very – without them ever doing it, there's no way. That's a tough battle.
And to be honest with somebody, you have to say, listen, this isn't going to be easy, but I'm going to make it as easy as possible. And that's a conversation. That's a tough conversation. Hey, welcome, new client. Let me dispel all these myths.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's not going to be super easy. Mm-hmm. You're not – you know, you are going to have to get me stuff at the last minute, you know, potentially. And that's another thing that I see is consumers – it seems like they're surprised by how much stuff they have to bring to the table because they think things change.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is underwriters is still asking for the same thing they've been asking for 15, 20
years
ago.
How well you prepare them up front.
And how easy you make it to get it to you and complete the application and things like that.
So can we talk about that? So if we talked about your messaging and your marketing, how much you do there. Once the lead comes in, right, who is Josh speaking to that client? Or you are? Because I know you guys have different roles.
It's either Josh or one of the loan officers are dealing with it. So right now, all of our consumer direct stuff is going through Agentology.
Okay.
So that is a 24/7 ISA. So all consumer direct leads go to them and they're a call center. They make phone calls, texts, and emails to get the client on the phone. Once they get the client on the phone, then they transfer it over to a loan officer. And so the loan officer is only talking to somebody that's already been contacted and interested. There's a law of averages with consumer direct. You'll never talk to 50% of your consumer direct leads. at least not immediately. So there's this weird thing with consumer direct, and it depends on what your messaging is, but there's a very, very small percentage of people that are ready now, but a lot of people are early entry, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if they're home buyers. And that's kind of what we focus on is the home buyer
stuff.
Same
here. We give big plans, but go ahead,
So you'll find the people that are just doing their research and they're probably not going to buy for 3 to 12 months maybe. But what happens is most people get this consumer direct lead, they make 3 phone calls and they give up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that. You've got to nurture those leads. And that's why some of these tools like Agentology and even HomeBot, putting them into that buyer side so that they're getting that monthly digest, helping them through the research process and things like that that's branded with your information. Consumer Direct is a way different animal from mm-hmm. anything else.
And it's changed over time.
It's changed
always
over
been
time,
consumer direct, but
it's easy now. I mean, it's a lot easier now than it used to be. I mean, you used to have to do all this stuff yourself, but that's why I generally say that I'm technology agnostic, and I think I genuinely am. I'm not into brands. I'm into results. Right. I'm into solutions and results. And right now, I'm a huge fan of HomeBot. It's not a perfect solution, but it ticked a lot of boxes that was really difficult and really manual to do prior to that. I mean, you had to put people in an email list and you had to write an email and send emails out to them on a regular basis and things like that just to keep them engaged. Because, I mean, you're probably getting this from your social media. You'll get people that'll call you that'll say, hey, I've been following you for 3 years. Right.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. No, that's a regular thing around our office. Mm-hmm. And I was answering an email back there that they said, I had a conversation with you 2 years ago. My situation's changed now. What do you think? You know? And so I don't know. What was the question?
Well, no, I have no idea. Well, it was how it worked, but what I'm curious about now.
Well, you were talking about what Josh and I do.
Yeah.
So You can't close loans and create a seamless consumer experience when you're also worrying about all that stuff, right? So our business is a little bit different. Over this past year, we've been making much more of a concerted effort to start working with more realtors because we didn't in the past, and quite frankly, where I found success is, I'm really good at this messaging. I'm really good. My superpower is taking complex things and making them easy to understand.
Yeah.
And so I've created messaging that I now have title reps that are responsible for being in front of agents every single day out there presenting my messaging materials. And they're saying, well, if you want to know more about this, I've got this guy that I want you to meet. So they're out there in the business doing sales because I don't want to go meet with agents.
You have a street team out there working for you.
So I have a street team out there. Yeah. And so it's how can you help somebody else? I think on my LinkedIn profile, I still have it. My Zig Ziglar quote, you can have anything you want in life if you help somebody else, everybody else get what they want. And that's not that I butchered it, but.
Well, it's like karma.
But it is karma. No, yeah. And that's exactly it. And that's interesting because that's what I call my blog. It's karmic marketing. So you're putting
so
good stuff. You're good,
cool.
But you're well. That's not what it's called. But that.
But that's
I think that's the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just putting stuff out into the universe without direct feedback loop necessarily.
And you are a hippie.
And
I love it.
Now I just think about this stuff a lot, man.
No, I think it's great. I'm just busting chops.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
it. I love
yeah.
this conversation.
Well, it's funny because I mean, actually my parents may have been, but I'm about the furthest thing from being a hippie as you'll ever find.
So what about, so you do a lot with technology.
Yeah.
This is my question. You do so much with technology and a lot of automation, right?
Yeah.
But you're very, very, it's very important to you for it to be personalized to the specific client too.
Yeah.
This is a tough battle right now that we're seeing.
Yeah.
I call it like personalized automation. How can we figure that out? HomeBot's pretty good at it, decent enough.
So
it's giving some specific info.
So when you're creating content, don't create content for everybody, create content for somebody.
That goes back to the niches that you've always done for 20 years.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And people say, well, I don't know what to talk about. Cool. Go to the sent folder of your email. You've answered 500 questions from borrowers, and the title is the question they asked you. Just explain it. Just explain it. Throw on the camera and say, you know what? I had a client ask me this question, and you know, and it struck me. I get a lot of clients with this question, so here's the advice that I gave them, mm-hmm. and put that out there into the universe, and let that shit come back.
I love it. All right, so yeah, that's cool. Just put it out, put that shit out there, and let it come back.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
do the right thing.
Every for statistically speaking, for every person that asks a question, there are many, many more people that have that question that don't know who to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody has ever asked a question that nobody has ever asked
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
So answer that question, get it out there, let people find it, and then they're gonna find their way to you.
Cool. All right, so now we have about 10 minutes left. I could talk about this all day, but I wanted to finish on when the lead comes in.
Yes.
Right? It goes to primarily Josh or one of your loan officers.
Yep.
Right? How are you taking an application? What are you using for that front end?
Well, right now we're using a POS. We're using Flowify.
Okay, Flowify.
So, yeah, so we're trying to, you know, we're working on Arrive and mm-hmm. started using that a little bit.
Same.
And you know, and that's evolving. And so mostly it's Flowify, and then it's coming in through there. We're structuring the loans. One of the things that we're doing that Josh will probably talk about this is he's using BombBomb videos.
Okay.
So he's replying with a short video explaining, you know, here's what we found. Here's your different options. Let me explain to you what this loan comparison really means. And people cool. love that thing. They love it. They watch it a bunch of times. You know, it's the whole thing where you're talking to one person and then they're kind of, and then they're not talking. You're talking to one person and they're trying to explain it to their spouse or to the
now
to,
you have
to
a
somebody
one
else.
Spot show the video.
So you know you have a one stop and you're showing the video. So we're trying to use more and more of that, and that's probably the most important thing that. That's mm-hmm. probably the most important thing that we're doing is trying to get that face to face because people don't want to be face to face, but they want to see your face.
Yeah.
They want to know who you are, but they don't want to drive somewhere necessarily.
Yeah, we do a bunch of videos where I just have my iPhone and take the video explaining and just send it right to them. Like you just said, then they yeah. can show their wife.
That is respecting their time. Right. Mm. So you're having that intimate conversation with them on their terms. When they can watch it, when they have time to sit down, they can put together their questions and then they can get back to you. And that's how we are as consumers right now. You know, we only want information when we're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be bombarded with stuff all the time. There's so much noise in our lives.
So much.
That if we want an answer, we want to go and look for it. So providing that messaging to somebody in a format and a medium that they can consume at their pace and they
yeah.
can get the most out of it. You can have a face-to-face conversation with JP at 11:30 at night by the time we get the kids to bed and we're finally sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's sit down and check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, so you're doing so much on the front end. I mean, leads are coming in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you're also, you're capping it a bit because you worry about quality too, right? With the back end. A little bit.
Well, it's a constant,
well, you're
constant
weeding them out.
Effort mm. to, it's a constant, well, they weed themselves out. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, the people that are most interested are going to make it through the funnel. We did outsource that initial contact piece because when you look at the cost of it, it's significantly less than mm-hmm. hiring and training somebody. And the fact that it's 24/7 and that they're working on that, and then we're putting them into a long-term nurture, so we're still touching them even if we don't contact them.
Whoa.
So it's just a constant process of filling the bucket, and then eventually things will flow out of it.
Yeah, it's always curious when I talk to different people where, as I'm writing down some notes, I'm seeing that we have a lot of the same type of goals in mind where taking care of the client, educating,
mm-hmm.
but we're so different on how we get the message out. It's just awesome to see where you're so much on the front end, you have your website, and I'm like straight soldiering with faith, you know, just
yeah.
videos on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok now, and yeah. just putting stuff out manually every single day. And you have it more automated, but we're still trying to give the same message. I think that's pretty cool. There's different ways to do this. I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
There's different ways to do it the right way.
Absolutely. No, yeah. the right way is the right way is the genuine way. The right mm-hmm. way is just doing it.
It's just doing
seriously.
It. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. That's why everybody says, like, what's the right CRM? The one you'll use.
The one that you use. We've said that plenty of times, right? So here's the words as I'm finishing up here that I wrote down about our convo, which I love. So niche, right? That's what you started with, right? Mm-hmm. Authentic messaging. I have it right here. I'm using this. I'm stealing this. Messaging instead of marketing.
Yeah.
Not instead, but I like saying messaging better. Mm-hmm. Just makes sense. Educating, keeping it simple, yeah. and having respect for the
Absolutely.
Client. Right? Did Absolutely. I nail some of them?
You nailed all of them.
All right. Well, as we close, is there one thing you just want to tell everyone out there in the yeah. broker world, the real estate world? Just
yeah. No, is it in the broker space? Even, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years now. I've never seen this kind of camaraderie. I've never seen this access to this type of a talent pool. You know, we didn't have the type of communication that we have now. We don't have instant communication and podcasts and stuff. Man, this is super super exciting. And quite frankly. This is what you call an emerging market. Anybody mm-hmm. who's in this business now and involved in AIM right now or get into AIM right now, you are on the ground floor of something epic.
Cool.
Absolutely epic. No, this is a game changer. This is an absolute game changer. If you're involved in this group, if you're not involved in this group, or if you want to get involved in this group, times are changing. We are evolving. The broker space is going to be the predominant. It is going to be a I don't know, I don't want to call it predominant, but it is going to be a massive influence in the market space. And every single soldier we can get into this battle we need. And it is a super cool place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Well, that was great. Scott Chang of BuyWise Mortgage on Broker to Broker. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.